Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
G&E brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condorian Murad. They're going to help you to update your will and testament, set up a trust, get your family squared away. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting camlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We are hitting the road with our guys. We'll be in Cincinnati for the Bengals and the Commanders. Monday Night Football will be in the crowd, sitting with the people, Danny. I know you like to be in your basement on your couch.
That's right.
And you know I like to be press box Paulson. I like to put on some slacks, tuck in a shirt, sit in the press box. We will be sitting among
the people.
The local Ohioans.
Ohioans.
There's going to be a lot of people wearing Chad Ochocinco jerseys around us, I would imagine, as we root on the local 53.
It's going to be cool, man. I like visiting other stadiums just to remind myself of what's possible.
You know what?
You know what I mean? Like,
when I was on the beat, I went to all but four NFL stadiums. Now, a couple have opened since then, so I probably have to add them to the list and do some recalibrating. Cincinnati was one of the four stadiums I never went to. So this is big, actually.
Oh, this is big league for you.
I will be checking one off of the list. I did not go to Foxborough the way it worked out, weirdly.
That's so weird you didn't go there.
Didn't ever go to Houston, where the Texans play at Reliant Stadium. And they've had a bunch of Super Bowls and events and stuff, but I've never been there. The Bengals was one, and I have not been to the new Atlanta Stadium, the new Minnesota Stadium, so it's at least five now, maybe one or two others, but I'm super excited. I'm actually closer to finishing the ring, so to speak, on the NFL stadiums than I am ballparks, where I have like seven more ballparks to get to.
That's a quarter of the way done, right, with some of the old school ones. I guess if they keep making new stadiums, it'll be harder for you, but yeah, that's pretty neat.
So we'll be there Monday night. If you're going to the game, let us know. We want to try to do a little tweet up, a little meet up with people before we go into the stadium out and about in Cincinnati. But should let you guys know, we were just talking about the passing numbers being down around the NFL. So before we get into some of Washington's stars struggling, here are some of the hard and fast numbers, Danny, through a couple of games that I think are most prevalent. Passing touchdowns through 2 weeks. By year, starting in 2019, 105. Passing touchdowns through 2 weeks in 2020, 110. 2021, 110. 2022, 105. Pretty much exactly the same for 4 years. Last year, 86. You go, that's weird. What happened? This year, 66. That was prior to Monday Night Football. Kirk had a couple. I don't think Jalen Hurts threw for one.
No, Barkley got tackled at the 1-inch line, and then he plunged it in the next play.
So 68.
He had one to Devontae Smith.
Okay, back so in the end zone. 69.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. So still, though, the average for a four-year span was a little over 105. The last 2 years, it's been 86 and 69. If you're looking at passing yards per game, per team, through 2 weeks of football, in 2015, it was 240. The next year, 258, 2017, 221, then more recently here from 2018 on, 250, 249, 249, 249. By the way, the consistency there is crazy. Right around 250 yards. 2022 down to 228, 2023 down to 217. This year, passing yards per game per team for 2 weeks, 193.2. So we have gone from 250 consistently for years through about 2022, to now 193 this year. I mean, these numbers are just hard to ignore. So you've got your touchdown category, your yardage category. If you look at sack percentage, I think is interesting. 7.8% sack rate through 2 weeks, Danny. The highest for the start of the NFL season in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are getting sacked at a higher rate than they have in 25 years.
But it's not leading to more production. You would think that usually correlates with, okay, there's more downfield shots, there's more big plays, and there aren't.
And also you would think that maybe after a sack, you're going to pass on the next down because now you need 18 or 20 yards, so at least you get some underneath stuff. It's not adding up. 2020, 5.8% sacks. 2021, 6% of plays. 2022, 6.3%. Last year, 7%. This year, 8% of plays have been sacks. The highest, again, in a quarter century. What's going on here?
There's a number of things. You go back a handful of years, I'm not talking about 10 years, but like a few years, and a third of the league, basically half the guys that started every game for their team, and they're only playing 16 games, by the way, threw for at least 30 touchdowns. That was the normal. You look at league leaders, guys like Aaron Rodgers for 48, Pat Mahomes in the upper 40s, etc. Last year, four guys did it with an extra game. Threw for 30 touchdowns. I'm not talking about something crazy, like a 50-touchdown season or something, but just for 30. Passing is now, because it was so essential to be great at it, that's now what defenses are designed to stop. So I see tweets from really smart guys. I've been fascinated with this topic. So guys like Benjamin Solak, who have broken down a bunch of different film, have offered a few ideas to this.
Have you seen anything yet on the percentage of passes as opposed to runs and whether that's changing? Because I get the sense watching the games that teams are running more than they're passing. Not meaning over 50% of the time, but like even compared to 3 years ago, that teams are calling more run plays. So obviously yards and touchdowns will be down throwing the ball if you're running it more. But yeah. I don't have numbers to back that
right.
up.
Right. So it just sort of abstract. It felt like it was 65-35 before. Now it's much closer to 50-50. It's not 50-50,
exactly.
But it's closer. So I think you're 100% right.
So the question then could be why, and I think it all comes back to how defenses are playing.
This is the essential ingredient to me. So I think because 11 personnel, three receiver looks became the norm. Nickel cornerbacks became the norm. The base defense of three linebackers is gone. Now it's smaller players. So where's the weakness? Making that Mikey Sanders still, making that 180-pound cornerback that's lined up not too far from the line of scrimmage, make him play in the run game. That's where your advantage is. For years, the advantage was my tight end on your whatever. My third receiver is better than your third corner. Or I can line my number one receiver up in a stack formation and have him beat your second or third best corner. Now, because of the prevalence of zone, keeping everybody back, have everything be in front of you, passing yards are down for multiple reasons. One, there aren't as many deep shots, aren't as many intermediate to deep shots. The reasons for that, one, defenses are taking it away. Two, nobody wants to get the quarterback hit. Three, I don't know that offensive line play without all the preseason and cohesion and all the turnover is as good.
So you just said preseason. I want to mention that in a little more detail. To me, the two major areas are how defenses are playing, which you were just referencing and we continue to talk about, and also the lack of preseason. I don't think a lack of preseason makes it harder to get your running game going. I think a lack of preseason, though, makes it harder for the timing in the passing game. And this is not my own opinion. This is something coaches have told me. This is something players have told me. But what do you always hear about? You hear about timing, mm-hmm. right? Especially in pass pro. We were talking with Austin Eckler yesterday, getting on the same page with the guy next to you, or everybody's assignment being known, and the guard and the tackle and the center being on the same page. That comes with time and reps, and game reps, frankly. So I think pass protection is hindered by a lack of preseason. I think the passing game in general, with the timing with your receiver, knowing how guys are going to break in, break out, when they like to stem and cut things off and throttle it down and sit in a zone, all those types of things, I think, Danny, mm-hmm. are affected by the preseason. Player movement makes it necessary that you have these guys making plays in the preseason, and teams have kind of opted against it. I think that's a big part of it, to be honest with you. And that part can be fixed in a month.
I think
in 2 months.
Yeah.
Maybe not. If defenses are still playing you the same way, maybe it's not going to come all the way back. But that part of it is a right now problem, not a sustainable all year problem.
So then, yeah, so you would see some growth as the season progresses, but it's not getting back to 2021 levels, for example. I think another contributing factor, central pass rush. It used to be, where are your pass rushers? On the outside. Interior guys, defensive tackles, are smart cars. They're Gilbert Brown. You occupy as many blockers as possible. It's Lawrence Taylor. It's, J.J. Watt off the edge. Now, that's not now the second, but Aaron Donald for so many years. And then, you know, the Dexter Lawrences, the Leonard Williamses, the, interior defensive linemen, sometimes in a 34, sometimes in a 43. The shortest distance to get to the quarterback to interrupt these passing games is straight ahead.
That's true. Like 10 years ago, I'm not saying there were no great defensive tackles, but heck, 5 years ago, I would say that when you thought defensive tackle, run stuffing, beefy, yeah, block attracting, smart car, basically, mm-hmm, right? Now, guys are pass rushers. And if you're not, you're not getting drafted early. So like when Daron Payne was taken in the top 15, the big question was, is this guy going to be able to rush the quarterback? Or is he more of a run-stuffing type? I think a lot of guys at that position now are the best pass rushers on their team.
Yeah.
To your point.
And you, because that was the weak link of the offensive line. The left tackle is making $20 million. Well, the left guard is fourth-round Freddie, who's fits the scheme and is probably Corey Lichtensteiger or wherever Mike Shanahan goes. That's the weak link in terms of pass pro. So it's a live chess match where defenses for years got tired of being on highlight reels and said, okay, fine, here's what we're taking away. And I think it really what ushered in this new era, quite frankly, is Pat Mahomes and that Kansas City offense. What teams realized was if you try to play them straight up, you can blitz them, you can do anything under the sun, they're going to kill you. They're going to punch you in the gut until they get that big play, and then that's the game. Then you lose. So they said never, ever over the top. They are permanently, to borrow baseball parlance, in no doubles defense, which means nothing over your head. Everything is going to be in front, in front, in front, in front, in front. You combine that with lighter boxes, easier run looks, and you're seeing prolific run totals through a couple of weeks for multiple teams. Think of Green Bay. They threw 14 passes and won a football game, handing the ball off to Josh Jacobs 32 times. That's unheard of in our recent era, but that's crazy. The best way to do it because of the way defenses are.
So speaking of Green Bay, what about this? All right, Malik Willis started that game for the Packers.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Malik Willis completed 12 passes in that win. I haven't looked at his spray chart, but I'd be willing to bet a lot of them were at or around the line of scrimmage, right?
Yep.
Is there something to what is an obvious philosophical shift in the NFL to the more athletic quarterback? I wouldn't call it the running quarterback because there's only a few guys that run a lot. But as an example, right now, through two games. There are four quarterbacks in the NFL that have over 20 rushing attempts. Like, on their way to 170 attempts. I don't think it's going to happen that way. Frankly, all four won't stay healthy. But Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson have all run the ball more than some starting running backs through two games this season. But in the league 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you just didn't see quarterbacks running as much. And what I think teams have figured out is you don't want a statue in the pocket. Mm-hmm. You don't want some flat-footed dude who's just a thrower of the football. You want a dual threat. You want an athlete. Everybody's trying to find two-time, you know, MVP Lamar Jackson, or maybe even if it's more Josh Allen, let's say, but someone who can do both. Like, after those guys that run all the time, Allen, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, Anthony Richardson. It seems to me like we are at a point as we've gone toward the athletic quarterback, a guy like Bo Nix or Zach Wilson coming out. One of the reasons they get overdrafted a little bit or people like them more is because they can run.
Mm-hmm.
They can scramble. They can elude the pocket. It used to be like, who is that guy? Ryan Mallett.
Yep.
He's no longer with us, right? Am I right about that, tragically? I hope I am. I don't know. I'll look that up. But that guy, as an example. You know, those big, like, 6'7", 275 pounds.
Statues with a cannon.
Yeah, exactly. That's gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't be drafted now if you just have, like, remember Zach Mettenberger? I was a big fan out of at LSU.
Yeah.
Immobile. That is a endangered species. But I think there's something, too, like, can you have your cake and eat it, too? If we're going with the quarterbacks that are going to run more, doesn't that naturally mean passing numbers are going to come down too? And a quarter of the league, if you think about it, if you're talking about Daniels, Hurts, Fields, Allen maybe is on that list, or Daniel Jones, a little less design carry stuff for him, Kyler Murray, Anthony Richardson, or it's like that type of quarterback that is more of a playmaker with their feet too. Is there something to that, do you think?
100%. Again, this is not a one-size-fits-all solution as to why it's happening. We know it's happened, right? The numbers are the numbers, as you said them.
Although I will say, I'm just thinking about this now with young quarterbacks. We're saying you can't be a straight pocket passer. There ain't a pocket passer, really, more so, like, by definition, than C.J. Stroud right now. I mean, you know what I mean? He's an athlete. He can move around. But he basically, you know where he's going to be all the time. I think he's got four rushing attempts through two games. That's about where he's going
to
be.
Yeah, he scrambles to throw.
And he is right now, outside of Patrick Mahomes, like the number two guy that you would start an organization with at the position. So maybe if you're special enough, it'll work. But I think largely everybody's looking for...
It's the easy button.
The guy who can run.
Right, yeah. You look like a genius when you're still able to move the ball despite your offense not working. See week one for Washington, right? The offense did not work. And yet they were in the football game through three quarters because Jaden Daniels had 80-some yards scrambling, right? So I think that's a contributing factor. I mean, to me, there's a whole bunch of trends that have kind of culminated in this where passing is down. And doesn't mean that you stop passing altogether. It just means that we need to adjust to the idea that the league is different than it was just a couple of years ago. This trend is like a violent regression or pendulum swing in the opposite direction. Whereas a handful of seasons ago, if you looked at, I can't remember, I'm just making up years, 2019 numbers versus 2010 numbers, you'd go, oh my God. And then you go back to the 80s where I'm going, dude, Joe Montana's the best I ever saw. And you're like, he had 3,600 yards and 24 touchdowns.
Yeah.
What's exceptional about that? It's just a different time.
So it reminds
we're now
me,
in one.
Like, people look at batting averages in baseball with this disdain, and they don't think about the fact that in this era, nobody hits for average. So C.J. Abrams, let's just say, if he were to hit 244 at the end of the year, someone would look at that and go, oh my God, Abrams, he can't hit. He hit 244. That's 3 points above league batting average. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's an above average batting average because the league hits 241. Well, 30 years ago, the league probably hit 273. So yeah, that was 30 points below that. That's the equivalent now of 210. And so my point is you do have to calibrate for that. The problem I have a little bit is it's a chicken or the egg thing to some extent. Like, some of the teams where passing is down, they're down by design. In other words, the Commanders, just as an example, through two games, while they've thrown it okay, I'm not suggesting they haven't done enough through the air in terms of yardage, that they're doing it for top half the league production, believe it or not. But if you go into a game going, we're going to run the ball, we're going to design seven runs for Daniels, he's going to scramble another four times or whatever, you're setting yourself up not to go out and throw for 250 or 300. Like, the Dolphins last year didn't have much of a problem. They threw for 4,700 yards. The Lions, with Jared Goff, and they don't have Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle walking through that door, 4,600 passing yards last year. Dak threw for 4,500. The teams that major in it still have that club in the bag. Tua's not leaving the pocket and running. Jared Goff, anytime soon, ain't beating anybody with his feet. Dak Prescott, it's kind of, you know where he's going to be. He's standing there delivering the football. And I think that that's still, if you want to do it, there's still a way to do it. I just think more teams are going, doesn't have to be that way. There's another way to do it.
And I would add one more data point for me. And this, again, is harder to prove. But I think we've now, where the latest innovations have happened, and it's harder for us to see because it's, you know, not, you're not getting some of the passing yardage with it, is the sophistication of some of these running games. For years, it was the Shanahan tree, and it was this great mystery as to how to do it. Well, then that kind of spread. You see a lot of these same stretch plays and zone looks and some of the blocking techniques and things that have translated to really, really good running backs. It used to be this urban legend. Like, it was Ryan Terrain or Orlandis Gary or whoever. Mike Shanahan's going to have a run for 1,000 yards. Well, look what you mentioned, Miami. Look what they do, for God's sakes. I mean, Devin Achane runs for 9 yards a carry last year. And Raheem Mostert, who nobody wanted, was running for over 1,000 yards. Whoever they plug and play runs into clear amounts of space. How sophisticated they are because of the threat of motion, the threat of some of those play action looks to Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle. Mike McDaniel's an offensive genius, not because he gets his playmakers who are really fast the ball in space, but because these running games are gouging people. We're better now at running the football, especially against these light boxes and looks that are designed to prevent passing, and you're seeing more of it.
Well, look at the Chiefs. To me, the Chiefs are the whole point. This all started with the Chiefs, right?
Right.
As we referenced. Mm-hmm. But it was a few years ago when everyone decided, okay, Patrick Mahomes has thrown for 50 touchdowns and 41 touchdowns to lead the NFL. Over the last few years, he just threw for 5,200 yards. And it was his second 5,000 yard season. What are we going to do with this team? And basically, they said it's going to get a lot harder. You're not going to get 30, 40, and 50 at a time. You're going to have to go on these 10 to 12 play drives we talked about. So last year, Patrick Mahomes threw for 1,067 fewer yards than 1 year earlier. Now, he played in one fewer game. So if you take his game average of 220 yards, it was like an 800-yard difference for him from 2022 to 2023. His touchdowns went from 41 to 27. So basically, again, with the average, you could say 11 fewer touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes last year to go along with 800 fewer yards. It was a lot more Isaiah Pacheco.
Yep.
It's a physical, run-the-ball, kind of different-looking Chiefs team. Now, they also went from 14 wins to 10 wins, which is not lost on me. Right, but they played a style that for them, they felt like they had to move the ball. And it worked pretty well for defenses, for the record. Instead of giving up the home runs and the doubles and the triples, the singles, with some penalties, with the fumble, with a pick, they did a better job to the tune of winning more games against Kansas City and them being a little less prolific. So it's all part of it. There's no doubt in my mind. But at the risk of making too big about 2 weeks, I think it is last year and this year. Last year, not to this extent, but it's basically a year now and a couple of weeks of seeing traction in this regard. 11 of Mahomes' 18 completions, 61%, were behind the line of scrimmage this past week in their game in week 2. 11 of 18. You know, that's kind of what we're talking about with Daniels.
Uh-huh.
129 of 151 passing yards, 85%, were from yards after the catch. I mean, they're doing kind of the same thing Cliff Kingsbury's doing with Andy Reid in Kansas City right now. The question for you guys is, why do you think this is happening? And do you think this will sustain all year, or is this just a couple of weeks start to the season that we'll forget about a couple months down the road, with passing being so much harder to come by and the numbers being suppressed? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.